And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah. Damn. You know, for someone to go through 7 years of making a documentary and doing that and finding, you know, they go, they don't know. And kind of, you know, dad, they may not, you know, but tell you where it's, you know, I really am put off by, and it's not, you know, Susan, you know, probably less so than, you know, a lot of others from her experience, but to make the goal that we get some government funding, or make the goal that we get some lab coat and a guy standing up representing an organization of doctor or whatever magazine of kind of, yeah, and you should, and, you know, we're going to find a cure and we need a guy. I don't care. You know, I'm so past that. We have gotten all the great innovation just came from the minds of individuals and certainly, you know, motivated. You know, there was a movie, it just came to mind. It was called Lorenzo's Oil, I think it was, something like that. And I remember Susan Sarandon played the mom, and the father was kind of a Christopher Plummer kind of guy. It might even been him. I don't think it was, you know, some accented foreign kind of good actor that, whatever. The story was about his son started to have debilitating disease that he was losing his son at a young age, and he's probably, I don't know, seven, something like that. And he's like, wait, what's going on with my son? I got resources, I got money, I'm smart, I can go read books. And this is before the internet, so I mean, he actually had to go look at a, you know, textbook. So he's like, I'm devoting my time to my son, I'm going to work on my son. What happened was, is the nerve fibers, the nerve endings, there's a sheath that goes over it. There's like a coating. Well, the disease attacks that coating. So you don't have, it's like taking the insulation off of wires. So it kind of fires everywhere, and it's just debilitating, and you die. Well, it's a terrible death. And what happened is he went ahead and he goes, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and research this a little more, find out what the problem was, and there was a certain trans fat you know, or a chain of fats or a what was it? It was oils. You know, there was something that's called Lorenzo's oil, and he could see what was missing. If there was some kind of supplement or certain oil that you could give, it could be metabolized in the body. So he's getting down into the mechanics of it. Well, he finally goes to a pharmaceutical company or an oil company or some scientist, some old guy near retirement that takes it on. He's like, yeah, whatever. I'll make the, you know, chains of hydrocarbons or whatever it was the way you want, and I can make, and there it is. And, you know, and I'll finish it later today, and here's your bucket of it, okay? So he takes this big flask of this, and they start giving it to the boy. Problem solved. Now, he was far along and had more problems, but you had, just like with this ME, you had seminar, you know, people that parents would come together and the privately funded, the government, whatever the heck, and they would be in hundreds of them sitting in a room saying, hey, I hear that this guy is doing the oil. Well, it's not approved, and we didn't do it kind of, and we're not allowed, and you didn't in the proper process of, you know, FDA. And they're going, yeah, it's very interesting. It's oil, okay? It has no side effects. There's no harm. It's just a chemical molecule compound chain of it fixes my nerve, whatever, my boy. Okay. So they start hammering. They just go around that. Well, you can't be part of the clinical trial if your kid's one of our guinea pigs and you're not going to be able to participate if you do it. They go, yeah, screw you. We're taking care of our kid. If you take this oil, and then it shows later all these kids with it, they're out playing baseball and they're on the, you know, football team of the, you know, whatever. And all they needed was this one supplement that their body didn't produce in some way. So that was, God, when was that? That'd be like the 80s or 90s or something. That was a long time ago, Lorenza's Oil. And it just showed, and this is before internet, it showed the process by which an individual, a father, went and just found, yeah, that's all very interesting. Don't want to know who to blame. That doesn't matter. And solved it. I mean, I helped my son as much anymore now and, you know, improved his standard of living a little bit. But, you know, it's preventative for lots of people. I don't see the medical industry there to help or facilitate. There are so many brilliant minds out there. They're just in another field, you know, and people lab coat. Nope. I got the degree, I got the lab coat and the stethoscope, and I rule you. I'm going over your body and this and that. And you go, really? Really? All right. Well, I say you're a freaking moron, and I can read. So I'm going to go do my own little in the lab of that. And it's like doing, you know, I've been getting a lot of attention. A lot of people contact me on my battery project. I can see the hits on, you know, I'm going, man, I got to get back in the lab. That was one of the reasons why I got the 3D printer. I needed to be able to have different kinds of plastics to be able to contain the potassium hydroxide electrolyte that's there for the nickel iron batteries. I got the carbon nanotube thing going on in the design, but it was all PLA that when they first started doing 3D printers, and that stuff is made from cornstarch or some dogs can eat it. You can flavor the 3D printing of a chewy bone, you know, they can sit there and gnaw on it. And that's what they're talking about making, you know, six-pack plastic for and everything so the fish can eat it or something so it doesn't pollute the ocean. But it wasn't working for what I needed. Well, now I go, man, I need to learn how to do and so on and CAD. And I'm learning. I'm just in there, you know, printing a, you know, rack for my headphones here and stuff. And I've got it down pretty good that I now learning the CAD. I can design the cells for the nickel iron carbon nanotube batteries. And, you know, and I've been working on it for years and I got 15 gazillion projects. But the thing is that, you know, give me time, you know, enough people to interview and talk to and come by and help and everything. We'll fix it. And we'll fix it. And if it wasn't for Elon Musk and gigafactories and batteries not being a problem anymore and everything, homie be in there busting ass. I still see carbon nanotube. I got some ideas. We're going to play with some ideas. But think about it. There are so many people so much smarter than me that have access to more resources that have to just divert their attention from. I don't think I feel like doing hedge funding this year anymore. I'm going to take my gazillions and do a little lab if I spent some, and, you know, and here we go. This is where it's going to happen, and it's not going to be helped by some government agency. They're in the way. They do not want you to do this kind of stuff. So here comes, I watched the TED Talk of Elon Musk. And, of course, one of the things, oh, my God, you got to answer. What are you doing on Trump's advisory board of every couple of months you guys meet and decide the fate of the world of, you know, you shouldn't, why are you doing that? You're giving him some credibility. He's just like, look, man, you know, we're just talking about whatever. And by the way, NASA made me a bunch of money. So, give him some deference, okay? And that check comes with, you got to go to a couple of meetings. So, he was talking about, and I see Elon Musk becoming more confident. I can see him raising in stature. It's like he's getting taller. He's just like, you know, cutting through the case. Oh, golly, shucking gee willikers. He's kind of losing that. And it's like, man, you guys are just in the way. So, looking at individuals like this that just all of a sudden, you go, look, we can go deeper than buildings are high and how many 3D levels of tunnels we want to do under L.A. and eliminate traffic. Didn't you ever see iRobot with Will Smith? Damn it. So he's doing the boring thing. He's got the space thing. He's going to colonize Mars thing. He's got solar panels that are roof tiles now that are cheaper than shingles. They're producing now. Four different shingles. Two of them are available now. Now, not later. This government thing? Is there a government permission slip for this? Huh?
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, yeah, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Is I want to go over some of the headlines, and Donna printed out the most popular ones. The most popular ones are freaking for the radio show. We had Dr. Ron Paul on, Lynn Olbrecht and Davi Barker, and we just, you know, we had a good time, you know, learned a lot. And then it's always good checking in with Ron just to make sure, Dr. Paul, to make sure that we're not getting too surprised. I mean, you know, missiles launch details at 11. You know, I'm going, no. And it's not a surprise to him. You know, it's just not a surprise. The gentleman that co-hosts his Liberty Report, Donna's trying to get him on. We're going to be talking about some stuff. And there's a big thing with him is, you know, YouTube. You know, what's happening with how they're promoting and being able to share with people at this YouTube thing. There's going to be another. It's one of those first to market deals. That's why it was worth a gazillion dollars for Google to buy them up. There's going to be competition. There's always competition. There's always something else. And they'll go, no, and they'll hold it. You're not allowed to hold it. And you're not going to hold it. And then all of a sudden, boom, it'd be like Sirius Radio or XM Radio. And it'll be XM Kiss My Butt satellite television. If I got in my pocket my own receiver of it doesn't matter anymore and anybody can do anything and I stream everything and it's done, which is pretty much happening now. I got a streaming device in there. It's like a, you know, it's called a Q2. It's made by Google. You know, it's a Raspberry Pi with a cool case on it. And all it does is it goes on, it has apps on it, just like your Android apps on your phone. And it just goes out and it says, you know, this movie, is there anybody anywhere on this planet of billions of people that might have it streaming on a computer in Bangalore who gives a crap? Why, yes, there is. There are several. Boom. I'm watching the movie. Just streaming the files. So I'm going, and where did it come from and how? Dad, don't care. You know, they're going to, nope. This is not going to be, you know, untouched for, I don't know why, I guess because they can't. There's not really anything that, well, they're going to try and do, you know, it's always net neutrality or something. It's government dealing with the internet. They're going to screw you over. Well, we're on to the next one. Much higher bandwidth of, you know, 40 gig up and download satellite, low latency, only 300 miles up if it's fast and kind of beats cable. beats cable. Okay, this is so now they want. Oh, well, we need to be seen as a utility. We don't want to be a utility. Now we do want to be a utility. We don't want to protect. We want to protect. It's back and forth of which one they want to be. It's like with the Bitcoin thing. Is it a commodity or a currency? Decide. I don't care. You know, decide. Not like I'm paying attention anyway. And the future is going to be none of your business. And we're going to be doing whatever we want to do anyway. I just want you to say it. You know, what is it that you're doing? That you're regulating, protecting from what? For whom? These are the questions that are finally starting to come up. And certainly when you're dealing with the medical industry in our last hour, we're talking about, just because they got a stethoscope and a white lab coat, they're not there for my health. You know, I the regulatory capture. All right. So Donna gave us some of the stories here. Ivanka Trump has the president's ear. Here's her agenda. Well, reading the article, it's like, you know, well, Daddy, I think you should do this. Well, she's going to be reviewing some of the executive, and which is not necessarily bad. I'm, if I had, a daughter that, had a little bit of different perspective and going, Dad, this is no, you're not going to be coming out well on this one if you do it this way or that. Probably better not. But who's really running the country? Well, her husband's all hooked up with Soros and friends. So I'm not feeling good about that. We'll be covering her, more in the future. There's going to be more coming out. We just let him get past his 100 days of spin of whatever, who cares. That's another, you're looking at the government. Here's someone that's, complaining about government. Sierra Vista woman, which is Southern Arizona here, she finds a note from a Chinese prisoner in a Walmart purse. Well, it's just, their conditions and so on. There was another story we had up yesterday about a Chinese worker. Let me tell you how it is when you go get a job here. And the U.S. is not going to compete with this. You go in, and yet people, their suitcases are ready to go work and live at the company stove. And we're going to be making manufacturing or whatever. And they get there, and there's a line of people. Just a big, giant, long line of people, and they go in, and can you say the alphabet? We need you to do the English alphabet, A, B, C, because I guess they got to categorize by something or whatever. And they go, yeah, good enough for us, boom, get on the line. They get in there, and they work for, I think they were saying $400-something a month, which goes how far in China, I have no idea, but it's a heck of a lot less than what, somebody's going to be willing to work 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday here. I can guarantee you that. So they're busted by, and how's those jobs going to go to America? And just pass a law, mandate, and Trump bang the gavel or something. They go, right. When it does go to America, let me tell you what's going to happen. The same thing that's happened in China. $450 a month is too much. Robots. Here it comes. So they're going, Chinese, you know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be exporting robots, and it's going to go America, and you're going to have robots doing your job. Well, they wouldn't be able to do my job. Yeah? What is your job? Are you a paper pusher? You know, there's a little bit of artificial intelligence couldn't push that paper better, faster, with less paper. I can't think of anything that can't. You can get an artificial intelligence talk show host. They just take a bunch of mine and go, yeah, we can do it better, faster, have more access to information, do an interview of that's the Turing test. When you can't tell it's AI, it's a sentient kind of rule-you person. I tell you, one thing else, scare the crap out of you. I can't watch it more than an episode every week or two. I'm not keeping up. It's Black Mirror. It's like Twilight Zone for, the new technological era of the future. And I mean, the latest episode, I had to stop it like halfway through. It's in the near future. I mean, it's like, before 30, it's like 20, 25, 30, something like that. And, it's a little gadgety stuff. It's like more electric cars and, more cooler screens and everybody's got their cell phone and so on. But it is, the future is, this one particular episode, it's your social rating. If you get a 1 to 5 stars, you're over a 4.5, you get more benefits, you live cheaper, you get to be in this club, live in this community. So their whole thing is all about, my social number. Everybody kind of, and what they'll go to get this kind of approval. This is the future. I got some more stories here when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Declare Your Independence, where Ernie, you know, knows better than try some songs. Okay, in the articles that we have that are the, you know, most popular, Donna just prints out the top ones that are being, you know, there's this one that came to mind. Is this the scariest chart in the world now? Now, Zero Hedge, you know, Tyler Durden, he did, now, tell you about Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge, they have a group of guys, you know, that publish under one name or one guy, or I think it's a small group of guys, publish under the name Tyler Durden. Now, Tyler Durden is the Brad Pitt character from the movie Fight Club. Fight Club was all about just taking down the whole financial system. They were just like, nah, yeah, bam, we're done, you know, and blew up all the computers of whatever. I think there is a sequel coming out or a remake of something. That would be interesting because a lot of this kind of stuff was depicted, and, you know, the debt that they're making us all slaves and they wipe it out and whatever. But Tyler Durden was the character in that. That was a fictitious character created in this guy's mind that he was schizophrenic and, you know, you didn't know till the end that he wasn't even real. It was in this guy's head. And so Tyler Durden is what they write under, and it's the financial markets. You know, it's banking and such in America they're exposing, and they were getting such good inside, explain it to everybody, this is what to really look at, they're lying to you information. They had to find out who it was. See, aha, we know it's this guy or these group of guys or these three guys. Okay, yeah, so, I mean, you know, the information, I didn't care. What, I'm looking for a shiny badge or something? You know, what I'm looking for information. Well, come to find out, these guys, you know, kind of know what's going on. So, you know, that got that too. Now, what they're showing in this one graph, if you go to it, is this the scariest chart in the world now? Well, it's on Freedom's Phoenix. You can go take a look. But all they're showing is the volatility in the market since 1975 and where it goes in our level of economic GDP versus the yada yada of the who gives a crap. And the point that they're making is that, yeah, they've decreased volatility a little bit by all these dial turning that they're doing, but the base foundation of our economy is steadily going down to where sooner or later it's not going to recover. It's not going to be able to make it. It's not, they're like, you know, dialing down the engine of the world and stopping it. It's almost like John Galt got his way. Okay, I'm just going to turn off the engine. Well, this is something that Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged was all about. What happens when you finally, the whole title of the book is based on this concept. Atlas holding the world on his shoulders. You know, I get the world on my shoulder. I'm strong. I got, you know, but at what point does he say, you know, I'm tired of carrying everybody. I'm tired of being the engine that keeps this pilfery going on, this kleptomania, this take my crap sort of status of it's, you know, you're lucky I get to have any. I'm tired of supporting this entire thievery mechanism, you know, of theft that's going around the world. I'm not doing it anymore. There's no, what's the incentive for me? Why am I doing this? So Atlas shrugs. He just shrugs the world off. Nope, not my problem anymore. Boom, I'm going Galt. So that's what Galt's Gulch was about. You know, the productive people, they just go find some place. They build their pirate ship and go hang out in, you know, in the South Pacific or something. Pace. What happens when that happens? Well, you know, it's happening. So where is the innovation going to be? Where is, you know, and what if they don't have to even go somewhere? They just be a bagon. You don't know where they are. You're not tagging them. Well, then we had another story. It's more from a left perspective. If we only got Congress to spend a little bit more money, it wouldn't be so many starving children. And it's the numbers are staggering. U.S. is world leader in child poverty. The point that they were making is over the last 6 years, America's wealth grew by $30 trillion. You know, 60%. Well, you know, until it's, and it's gone, you know, the dollar, yeah. But so they're saying that during the same time, their number of homeless children have grown by 60%. Well, they go, well, financier and CEO Peter Schiff said people don't go hungry in a capitalist economy. And they say the 16 million kids on food stamps know what it's right to go hungry. I'm going, yeah, but you just contradicted yourself. If you got food stamps, you're not in a capitalist economy. I mean, the point that, you know, we know is that in a free economy, there are sure as hell a lot fewer deprived individuals. There is, I remember an article by L. Neil Smith. He was writing, and he was making the point, in a free economy, there is enough work for everybody. I mean, if you can blink once for yes and two for no, you can be a quality assembly line if something needs to get a human kind of look at and did. Probably do artificial intelligence now. But the point was, he's saying, you have such a vibrant economy, we're going to be hiring dolphins to do some work for us. I mean, there's so many jobs out there in a vibrant, everybody can do something to make something, to value to something, if you just get, you know, all these throttles and these bottlenecks and this regulation, all this crap out of the way. That's the point. We haven't seen a capitalist society. We don't know what the hell it is. There's always some license or something. It's been, you know, my entire life, and getting worse at a steady rate. Well, I'm just like, hey, man, you know, I'm for shrugging, man. We're done, and we're gone. What's going to happen? Go pirate. Yep, we're going to be having fun with that. All right, so yeah, we're getting near the end of, we get the store fixed up. The only thing that's holding us up is being able to accept cryptocurrencies in payment for stuff, which is, if you can't do that, you're not very pirate. So I'm holding off for that. I'm going, no, whether I like one over the other, that's not the point. I just, you know, if you're going to go pirate, you're going to need to be able to be off of their crap. You know, that's, you know, kind of my goal, which is what the next hour is about. John McAfee, an antivirus pioneer, John McAfee, and privacy advocate. John comes on the show to talk about his new hack-proof smartphone. John McAfee was born on a U.S. Army base in the United Kingdom, but his parents soon took him to the United States and raised him in Salem, Virginia. In the 1960s, he attended Roanoke College, earned a bachelor's degree in mathematics. Much later, in 2008, the same institution recognized him with an honorary Doctor of Science degree. Throughout his life, McAfee has gravitated towards software programming. He held a number of jobs in that industry after college until one day, while working at Lockheed Martin, he became inspired to write a program for the elimination of computer viruses, the first of its kind. He founded McAfee Associates shortly after. The company became very successful. He was able to quit his job at Lockheed and run his business full time. McAfee Associates continued to perform well. And in the 1990s, John McAfee sold his stake in the corporation, became a wealthy man, and, you know, it was a party. But everybody goes, how do I get this McAfee crap off my, it's garbage, I'm trying to, he goes, hey, man, I'll show you. Takes a baseball bat to the computer. He goes, hey, it's not mine. They're just calling it, you know, McAfee, and it's not, hell no, that have nothing to do with what I did before. But as he's, you know, off partying, having a good time, there's documentaries and movies about, you know, McAfee, you know, be chilling because he's rich and was young and he can do what he wants. But then he got interested in doing some good, and he run for president as a libertarian, and he got a dose of how this really works. I remember, if you go look at the early interviews that I had with him talking about him thinking about doing this, I'm like, okay, you go listen to the interviews and you can go, man, he was warned about it, whatever, but the one thing that I was looking for is security and privacy and communications. The smartphone is said to feature hardware switches which will allow users to disconnect the battery, the antennas for Wi-Fi, the camera, Bluetooth, the geolocation, and the microphone. The device will be priced at $1,100. And on its original blog post earlier this year, you know, the base phone will be procured as an OEM model using the Android operating system and then modified using the skills of MGT's cybersecurity team. So I guess it's going to be based on Android, and they're going to go change the code and do whatever. Is it going to be what we want? I don't know. I'm going to ask the freaking question because this is what I want. To be able to just go away and then not know where I'm at.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
play it again. Yeah, I don't care.
I think I've been blinded, baby.
Baby.
What can I see tonight?
Woo! Yeah, because I can, damn it. You know, this is the whole mentality. I'm tired of the... Let me tell you what would happen. If I was able to express myself, you know, and about anything, about this, about that, and I was able to spend some time and put some stuff up and kind of, you know, have some fun using the studio, it would include a bunch of movie clips. It's just, you know, why am I unhappy, Bob? You know, ask, you know, from Incredibles, you know, or you have, you know, Samuel Jackson, you know, he always has something colorful to say, you know, or you got this one scene from, you know, like a lot of the clips that I use in movies for rejoiners. And so I can tell a whole story and do it in movie film clip, because I like movies, and I like, you know, and the history of a lot of people don't even remember stuff. I'm going, it would be awesome. Flag, you're not allowed, you get in trouble, kind of, you know, that. And it's just, where do you put this stuff up? How would you accumulate? It would be such a treasure trove that they go, yeah, no, you're not allowed. Until there is a mechanism by which I can put this stuff up and make it to where I can be private and forever and always in my creative ability of suck it, you know, I'm not playing. I'm just bitching, whining about it. Well, as I keep doing that, you know, a lot of things that I advocate for start coming around, because it's duh. You know, it's just, yeah, duh. Soon, duh. So, John McAfee, next hour, man. I'm telling you, he better. So we're going to go and talk about that. That'll be fun. All right, now let's go ahead and go over, you know, some of the headlines here. How to get rid of a headache in 5 minutes without pills. Smoke a bowl. All right, there, just saved you the problem. All right, then we go, what's some of the other stuff going on here? Oh, it's good. See this kind of stuff, man. All right. Lockheed compact fusion reactor design about 100 times larger than first plans did, yada, yada, yada. There's a lot of stories that we put up. I just went and I keep looking every now and then. All right, how's the thorium reactor thing going? All right, how's fusion reactors going? All right, how fusion reactors, they're all over the place. United Kingdom, here's one in Indonesia, continues preliminary work towards fusion testing, yada, yada, yada. Well, there are some of them in China and some others that they've been getting. It is like, I don't know, many times the temperature of the core of the sun. I mean, that kind of stuff. Fusion reactions where they're having, I guess it's hydrogen, and when it fuses, it makes helium, and it creates an enormous amount of energy. Fusion is thermonuclear reaction. It takes a nuclear explosion, you know, a fission to where they break apart using uranium to detonate a fusion reaction. So when you see a hydrogen bomb, it was a nuclear bomb that made the hydrogen bomb go. Well, the nuclear bomb, you have a bomb, TNT, that, you know, slams these two halves of the uranium together to go critical, and boom, so it's an explosion to make a nuclear, to make a thermonuclear. And then they go, and, you know, this fusion thing, we get a handle on that. That's enormous amounts of energy, and we're doing it. They're creating, but how do you hold gazillions of degrees in something? It'd be China syndrome, man. It'd just melt right through everything. Well, they have to suspend it using magnetic levitation, you know, a magnetic fields. So I'm going, it's like trying to contain Jell-O with rubber bands or something. Well, they're getting their rubber bands all perfected, and they're containing. And they're going, wow, we went a second. We went 70 seconds. We went longer. I'm going, wow, that's kind of progression. Pretty soon, you're going to have a continuous, we got a big, giant little solar sun sitting, you know, in the basement. Is that where you want it? I don't know. But it makes it a lot easier to contain it if it's weightless and in space. Are we going to have fusion reactors in orbit, the space of doing kind of powering the something? You know, yes. Why? Because I just said it. That's why. Because humanity can even imagine it, and it's done. Just time. And the only delay is just, you know, lab coats and shiny badges. Nope, you're not allowed because we have oil and hydrocarbons, and we've, you know, kind of, you know, we've got to work on that carbon footprint and stomp it around and something. So this fission is coming, you know, fusion. You know, so they're, you know, doing some fusion testing. You just put it in fusion reactors, just take a look, and you'll go, damn, man, there's some other, you know, funky stuff going on, too. Firestorm a-brewing as scientists work to create synthetic human DNA. I'm just feeling all kinds of warm and fuzzy about that one. Last May, seemingly commonplace meeting kicked off a firestorm of controversy. More than 100 experts in genetics and bioengineering convened at Harvard Medical School for a meeting that was closed to the public. Attendees, you know, were asked not to contact, like, anybody. You know, the press, you know, and they're going to be secret about it, you know, so that they could have the, you know, secret papers. We're going to put out, they're submitting the paper about the project to a scientific journal and were discouraged from sharing the information publicly before it was published. But there's another reason why the group of scientists, while encouraging debate and public involvement, would be wary of attracting too much attention. Their project is an effort to synthesize DNA, including human DNA. Researchers will start with simpler organisms such as microbes and plants, but hope to ultimately create strands of human genetic code. One of the group's organizers, Jeff Book, director of the Institute for yada, 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 yada. Let me tell you what this happens, what this means. They're talking about, you know, human cells could happen in 4 to 5 years. Gattaca, this is about creating, all you got to do to make a clone is you take out the genetic material that's in an egg, you know, it's fertilized, and you put in another one. Then it grows into whatever the heck you designed. You know, you give them birth to, you know, computer babies. There was a movie called Daryl, which stood for, digital artificial intelligence of something. And what it was is they took a baby and they made the brain a computer, or the interface to a computer, or they did big computer of whatever the brain of kind of it was. Grew up as a boy, experienced the world as a boy in a boy's body with the senses that come in and kind of and artificial intelligence, and I can fly SR-71 Blackbirds. That was called Daryl. It was a fun kind of family movie of it's an artificial to android kid that grew up, and this is like in the 80s too. And, you know, a lot of this stuff, you're looking, man, can we think it? Whether they can do it or somebody wants to do it. It's whether they get government funding for it or not. And I'm like, hey, you want, you know, peace out, but I don't have to pay for it. Well, somebody's paying for it. So now we're able to make what? Customized human stormtroopers? Because if you remember, the stormtroopers, they were clones of Boba Fett's dad, Jango Fett, or something like that. And they changed them a little bit, one, to grow fast, because they wanted to get an army, and they trained them and went through all the whatever. But they took away a little bit of their personality that made them more docile, made them more susceptible to command, made them follow orders. There wasn't enough individualness to now. He wanted one of the clones to be unaltered, grow normally, be a son. That became Boba Fett. Boba Fett is a clone of his dad, but without changing his personality to be a stormtrooper. So I'm going, interesting twist, interesting. Would they, them, those do something like that? Create a clone army to enforce their will on whatever. It's just a race. Is it going to be that? Or a droid army, you know, doing the Federation of whatever the heck, a trade guild that we're going to kick your ass and do what? You know, you think things are different? That's exactly what's going on. So I just, you know, So what are we to do? I don't know. Stay informed is the first freaking thing. Know that this stuff is a common. And I tell you, you know, it's coming down to just, you know, truth and how to argue. Oh, candles in the dark seminar. This summit that we're doing here this Saturday and Sunday with Larkin Rose is coming. I'm trying to get hold of them. You know, we got some other, you know, scholarships and promotions, and it's got these kids from around the world and so on. How we're going to do that? I need to talk to Larkin. I want to get these guys in, get them learnified. You know, but that's at the Four Points Resort over on I-17 in Peoria here in North Phoenix. That it's going to be all Saturday and Sunday. Saturday night would be a partying and such. But go to the top of freedomsphoenix.com right now, click on it, and it gives you all the information and links to, and, you know, and just go. It's $115, just go. And you get all, you know, Larkin Rose'd up. So this is, you know, the information is there. They'll tell you got a video that kind of, you know, pimping it a little bit. And we're going to be spending our weekend hanging out with Larkin. I think, man, it's time. It's time. you know, just the most dangerous superstition, this whole government thing trying to look to them to fix, to change, to alter, to sanctify, to give absolution for, or whatever. Stop! Stop! John McAfee, when we come back.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017. Silver is trading at $16.86 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,256 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at 2.2 cents, and the average price of Bitcoin is $1,466. Antiwar.com reports polling shows Democratic Party Korea candidate Moon Jae-in as an overwhelming front runner in the upcoming presidential vote with more than double the support of any other candidate. He is, however, seen as far from ideal from the U.S. perspective, favoring diplomacy with North Korea as he does. The split between Moon and Trump is so dramatic, in fact, that Moon has felt the need to publicly warn the U.S. about meddling in the nation's politics, not just directly in the election itself, but also with policy decisions made in the lead-up to the election. Indeed, Moon and his allies warn that the biggest problem is the U.S. rushing through measures in the lame duck government ahead of the election, noting that agreements on things like the THAAD anti-missile system and then hastily putting the system in place before any public hearing or environmental assessment were allowed to take place. Analysts even suggest that President Trump's talks of making South Korea pay for the THAAD might help Moon because he is seen as more likely to stand up to the U.S. on the deployment and doesn't feel particularly wedded to any agreements on the deployment which were made in the post-impeachment pre-election environment specifically to avoid real political debate.
When you hear the word lobbyist, you probably think about greedy corporations, but not all lobbyists are the same. Some are fighting for the freedoms you hold dear. Liberty Lobby LLC is doing just that in New Hampshire, working hard to represent you, not some special interest group. You can help by going to libertylobby.info, where your contribution will give us the tools we need to ensure that your voice is heard. Visit libertylobby.info today to find out more.
UPI reports the U.S. Department of Justice will not file charges against two police officers involved in the controversial shooting death of Alton Sterling in Louisiana last year. Video of the incident showed Sterling pinned to the ground by arresting officers before multiple shots were fired. The video prompted widespread protest and an investigation by the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division. Federal prosecutors, though, don't feel there's enough evidence to file civil rights charges against the officers in the case. Sources familiar with the department's decision confirmed the news on Tuesday. East Baton Rouge Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome said she was appalled to hear of the DOJ's decision from news reports without a formal decision being relayed to the Sterling family first. Early on Tuesday, Michael T. Slager, a former South Carolina police officer who fatally shot motorist Walter Scott 2 years ago in another high-profile case, pled guilty as part of an agreement with federal prosecutors. Under that deal, Slager pled guilty to a single count of excessive force to deprive Scott of his civil rights. He is expected to be sentenced later this year.